Have you ever woken up after what felt like, a full 8 hours of sleep, only to feel completely drained? Or maybe you experience these unexplained aches, pains that just, they don't seem to go away no matter what you try.
It happens surprisingly often, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
And it might make you wonder, like, what if there are unseen energies in your home, literally beneath your feet, that could be impacting your well-being?
It's a surprisingly frequent phenomenon, yeah. And often the answers aren't found in, say, typical health checks. They might lie in the subtle energetic landscape of our living spaces.
Right. That's why today we're taking a deep dive into something called radiesthesia. You might also know it as dowsing or divining. It's a really fascinating area that explores these unseen influences on well-being as understood within specific traditions and the sources our listener shared. As always on the Deep Dive, our mission is just to explore the information provided by these sources. We'll present the concepts, the claims from them impartially, without, endorsing specific viewpoints or health claims.
Right, just laying out the ideas.
Exactly. Our goal is to uncover these unseen influences, understand how they're believed to impact health and energy levels, and most importantly, explore practical ways within this framework to identify and maybe mitigate them so you can create a more energized daily life. Let's unpack this.
Okay, well, what's truly intriguing is that radiesthesia literally means perception of rays.
Perception of rays.
Okay,
Yeah.
it's a combination of the Latin radius, meaning ray, and the Greek aesthesia for perception.
Got it.
So within this field, we're talking about picking up various resonances, including our own energy field, which is often called your aura.
Right, the aura.
And the practitioners, diviners or dowsers, they use instruments like rods or pendulums. This one I have here is copper.
Oh, interesting.
But really, even a bent piece of fence wire can work sort of like an antenna to pick up these subtle energies.
An antenna. So, if I'm understanding this right, the main point of radiesthesia is to identify and maybe lessen harmful energies,
Yeah.
the ones believed to affect our daily lives.
That's the core purpose, yes.
That sounds like a pretty powerful concept. It actually reminds me of a quote I read about the dowsing rod, something like, "The dowsing rod is a simple instrument which shows the reaction of the human nervous system to certain factors which are unknown to us at this time." It feels like a big statement about our connection to the unseen.
Precisely. And we're discussing different kinds of radiation from our environment that, according to these sources, can either make us feel tired and unwell, or sometimes, depending on what they are, actually charge us up.
Okay.
The main culprits when it comes to feeling unwell are often called geopathic radiations. These are energies believed to come from the Earth itself.
Geopathic radiations. Okay.
Okay.
Can you give us some specific examples? Like, what kind of earth energies are we talking about?
Certainly. One of the most significant, according to the research in this field, is underground water streams.
Underground waters.
Yeah. And we're not talking about still water, like in a tank. This is running water, sometimes deep underground. These streams are believed to carry a charge. They have positive and negative ions on their sides, making them electrically active in this context.
And if you're sleeping above one?
Well, the claim is, even if you're otherwise healthy, getting 8 hours sleep, you might find yourself waking up feeling just profoundly tired, like
Yeah.
constantly reaching for that first coffee.
Wow. I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling. It's almost unsettling to think unseen energy could be behind it.
Yeah, and some individuals who are described as very sensitive within this field might even feel a tingling sensation or numbness in affected limbs.
Really? Tingling.
And expanding on this, there was a Hungarian naturopath, Andrew. He apparently compiled over 400,000 case studies.
400,000. Wow.
Yeah, huge number. He observed some pretty stark correlations. According to his research, if a stream is believed to run lengthwise through your body while you sleep,
Okay.
it has been linked, in his observations, to conditions like leukemia, Parkinson's, widespread joint pain, arthritis, even MS. And if the stream is at your head level, he noted observations of various eye problems, eyesight issues, cataracts, hearing loss, also upper body things like asthma, lung disease, thyroid problems.
Wow, those are incredibly specific correlations he drew. What about the other main type of geopathic stress? Hartman lines, I think they're called.
Yes, Hartmann lines, named after Dr. Hartmann, a German medical doctor and geobiologist. He was born back in 1905. He first published about these earth magnetic resonances, and his findings, after like 30 years of practice back in the 1970s, were really significant within his field.
What did he find?
He stated, and this is quite a claim, that he hadn't come across a patient with cancer or otherwise seriously ill who hasn't slept or stayed for a long period in a geopathically stressed place.
That is a powerful observation. So
Yeah.
what does this Hartmann grid actually look like? How's it structured?
Right. So the Hartmann grid, as it's understood, is made of intersecting energy lines. They're believed to have a magnetic origin coming from the Earth's magma itself, the center of the Earth.
Magnetic lines.
These lines are said to be about 30 centimeters wide, and they're spaced roughly 2 meters apart.
2 meters.
Yeah, running consistently from south to north and east to west. So they form this grid pattern across the whole planet.
A global grid.
The spacing can vary a little bit, apparently. It's about 2.3 meters near the equator and maybe 170 to 180 meters apart near the poles.
Okay. And how are these lines believed to affect us? Like, what's the proposed mechanism here?
Well, think about our healthy aura, our personal energy field. It's typically understood to be about 1.5 to 2 meters wide around us.
Right.
If a Hartmann line runs directly under your bed, the theory suggests that your aura in that specific area starts to weaken.
Okay.
So within this understanding, the aura, this subtle energetic field, is kind of like a protective layer, and it channels vital energy. When it's exposed to certain frequencies, like those from a Hartmann line, this field can get distorted or, depleted in specific spots.
Creating weak points.
Exactly. Localized vulnerabilities that, over a long time, might show up as physical symptoms.
And Andrew, the naturopath, he detailed this too.
He did. His findings suggested that if a Hartmann line is believed to cross at your head level, you might experience things like frequent headaches, fatigue, hearing loss, eyesight loss, even hair loss, anxiety, neck stiffness, dizziness.
That's quite a list.
Yeah. And at the breast level, his observations noted potential blood pressure issues, cardiac problems, or respiratory issues.
Okay.
And if other areas are hit, it could apparently manifest as infertility, prostate problems, menstrual disorders, or various inflammations.
It's an incredibly detailed map of potential impacts. It makes you really think about what's going on around us that we can't see. So what happens if these different energies overlap, like a Hartmann line in one of those water streams? Do they get stronger?
That's a really important question. The crossing point where a Hartmann line and an underground water stream intersect is believed to mean about 50% more radiation in that specific spot.
50% more. Wow.
Yeah. And Andrew's research indicated that these are the precise locations where, in his observations, cancerous tumors tended to develop.
Really? At the crossing points.
With a direct correlation to where that crossing point lies on the body. He gave an example, like ladies with breast cancer on the right side often had a crossing point exactly on that right side in their sleeping area.
That's a very direct connection he's drawing there within his framework.
It is.
So, okay, shifting a bit, nature itself seems to give us clues about these energies, right? I mean, plants and animals, they seem to react.
Absolutely. Nature provides some pretty good indicators. If you see a tree, for instance, bending at a really strange angle, or maybe it has what look like tumors on its trunk, it's highly probable within this understanding that there's an underground stream right beneath it.
Interesting.
I've actually seen this myself. There's a photo I know from the Marucci River opposite Chambers Island. It showed a tree with these tumors exactly at an underground water plus Hartmann line crossing.
Wow. The poor tree, it wants to move but can't.
Exactly. And animals too. You mentioned cats.
Yeah, I've heard cats are somehow involved.
Well, cats are believed to love underground water streams, and apparently it doesn't make them sick.
Oh, okay.
So if your cat consistently chooses to sleep with you, on your bed perhaps, it's possible there's an underground stream right there.
Even if it's deep underground
Right.
or high up in a building.
Yep. Diviners report finding water 60 meters deep, 45 meters deep, even if you're on the 10th floor.
Huh. What about other animals?
Termites also seem to have an affinity for underground water. That's often where they build their nests. So if you see a whole lot of termite nests clustered together,
Could meet a big stream underneath.
could indicate a significant underground river. Yeah. Ants too, they're said to love the water.
Fascinating.
And maybe the most amazing one is birds. It's said that the Hartmann lines, those lines every 2 meters, act like a GPS for birds.
A GPS.
Birds.
That's the theory. Is how they supposedly migrate all the way to Africa and then come back to the exact same spot year after year. Wow. It's like nature has its own dousing system built in.
Doesn't it? Maybe our pets are trying to tell us something.
Maybe. Okay, so moving from these natural earth energies to more modern ones, what about electromagnetic fields? EMF pollution. It feels like we're just swimming in it these days.
We really are. EMF is definitely another significant source of, let's call it, energetic pollution, often discussed in these sources. It comes from all the electric gadgets we have around us.
Like what specifically?
Oh, you know, electric boxes on the side of the house, sockets, power points, microwaves. The list goes on. The radiation from these can be quite strong, according to this perspective.
What about phones? We all have them glued to us.
Right, mobile phones. It's generally recommended within this field to keep them roughly 80 centimeters away from you.
80 centimeters, okay.
Especially when charging it. Charging is believed to actually double the radiation output.
Doubles it, wow.
And a really critical warning you often hear, avoid putting phones in bras or back pockets.
Why specifically there?
Well, for example, many prostate problems have been anecdotally linked to men frequently carrying phones in their shorts pockets, right near that area.
Oh, dear. Okay. So what does this mean for our homes then? Are there ways to deal with EMF pollution? Solutions mentioned in these sources?
Yes, there are things people do. We've seen mentions of special paints you can use on your roof or foils on windows. Some people install an earthing switch.
An earthing switch.
Yeah. And I recently heard about someone who made a pretty significant investment, actually just under
$10,000. $10,000.
Yeah, to make their bedroom completely free, or as free as possible, of any electromagnetic frequency. And they now report sleeping like a log.
Wow. That's quite an investment, but I guess a good night's sleep is priceless.
It really is. It shows how much impact these unseen energies are perceived to have on sleep and well-being.
So switching back to the geopathic stress, the Hartmann lines, the water streams, are there practical solutions for those? Ways to, you know, move away from them?
Absolutely. And this is the optimistic part in these sources. There are ways to move away from these resonances if we know where they are.
No.
The primary solution is really about strategic positioning. Practitioners in this field help people figure out where to place their beds or maybe their working desks.
Right. Places you spend a lot of time.
Exactly. Anywhere you're spending, say, a third of your life. The goal is to position these away from those specific energy lines.
Does it matter which energy line it is? Like, do they feel different?
Apparently, yes. If you're spending time above a magnetic resonance like a Hartmann line, some people report feeling kind of hyper. It's an observation sometimes made with, say, attention deficit kids.
Oh, interesting. Hyper.
Conversely, the underground water is associated more with making you feel sleepy, tired, energy deprived.
Huh. And you mentioned the moon earlier.
Oh, right. During a full moon, it's believed the Hartmann lines actually get wider, maybe by about 10 centimeters.
Mm.
Yeah. Which might explain why some people who are sensitive report more disturbed sleep around the full moon if they're sleeping on one.
Okay. And how quickly do people feel a difference if they make a change, like moving their bed?
Well, according to the practitioners, if you move your bed away from a Hartmann line, you'll typically feel the effects starting to fade within about 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
With underground streams, because they're associated with that draining feeling, people often report feeling more energized almost straight away.
Immediately. Wow.
Yeah. The changes might seem subtle at first, but they're believed to really add up over time.
It sounds like our aura, that energy field you mentioned, is considered a key indicator of all this.
It is, yeah. Within this practice, practitioners often measure the aura. A healthy one is typically seen as being about 1.5 to 2 meters wide.
Okay.
But in contrast, people who are very ill or even dying are often observed to have an aura of maybe only 10 centimeters or even less.
That's a huge difference.
It is. And in demonstrations, practitioners might detect weaknesses in your aura at specific levels, like maybe at your knee level or your shoulder. And these often correlate with physical complaints you might actually be having in those areas.
That's fascinating. And what's really striking is that this isn't some new, you know, modern concept. This knowledge goes way back, doesn't it?
That's absolutely right. This is not knowledge that just popped up with Dr. Hartmann. It goes back much, much further.
Like how far back?
Well, historically, you had peasant people using rods, simple tools, to detect where to put their homes, where to build their house, where to put the barn so the animals would be safe and healthy. It was just considered, you know, practical knowledge.
Wow. Common sense back then.
Kind of, yeah. And this practice is still quite common in parts of Europe. You'll find it in the UK, in France, Germany, Russia, Hungary, Switzerland. They still do it.
Really? It's that widespread.
And my own parents, they're Hungarian. They used to call a diviner in to check where we were sleeping, make sure it was a good spot. In fact, that's why I learned dousing myself. I wanted to make sure my own kids were safe, energetically speaking.
That makes sense. But it raises a big question. Is this like a psychic ability? Do you have to be super sensitive to do it?
That's what many people assume.
Yeah. Is it true?
No, not according to the tradition. You don't need special psychic abilities. You don't need to be super sensitive.
Oh, really?
The belief is that everyone can learn to pick it up. It's more a question of having a good teacher and then just practicing. Practice, practice, practice.
So it's a skill, not a gift.
More like a skill, yes, that can be developed.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about these energies that are considered harmful or draining. Are there also positive unseen energy lines within this framework?
Yes, that's important too. A broader perspective also includes what are called ley lines.
Ley lines. Okay, I've heard that term. Yeah. How are they different from Hartman lines?
Well, unlike Hartman lines, they don't seem to follow a specific grid pattern. There's no regular spacing for ley lines.
And their effect?
Ley lines are believed to actually give off extra energy, positive energy, and it's considered very healthy to spend time above those lines, maybe for a little while, to sort of get charged up.
Charged up. That's incredible. So does that mean ancient builders knew about these?
It certainly seems they did. In the old days when they built those huge cathedrals like Notre Dame in Paris or St. Paul's in London, their altars were often very strategically placed right at the intersection of powerful ley lines.
On purpose.
The purpose, it's believed, was exactly that, to charge people up energetically when they came to worship.
Wow. Any modern examples?
Well, I've personally doused at sacred sites like Uluru in Australia, and I found some really wide ley lines there, sometimes like 200 meters wide.
200 meters? That's huge.
It is. And what's fascinating is you look around Uluru and the benches for tourists, they often seem to be placed right over these ley lines.
I think that's deliberate.
It seems plausible, doesn't it, for tourists to sit there and charge up from the earth energy. It feels like a very practical application of this ancient knowledge.
But like anything powerful, I guess too much of a good thing could be.
Yeah.
Well, too much. Would you want to sleep right on a ley line all night?
That's a good point. No, generally, it's not recommended to sleep directly above a ley line for, you know, 8 hours every night.
Why not?
It's just believed to be too much intense energy for the body to handle over such a prolonged period. It could be overstimulating.
Okay, that makes sense. So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, our listener? We've taken quite a journey, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Through this unseen world of earth energies, modern EMS, exploring their surprising impact on our health and energy, at least as presented in the sources we looked at.
Yeah, we've seen how nature might signal these forces and how this ancient wisdom combined with the practical knowledge in radiesthesia offers ways to potentially mitigate negative influences.
Right, through things like strategic placement, just being aware of where you spend your time.
And our aim here is really simple. It's to highlight how, according to these traditions, you might get more energized each and every day just by potentially creating a healthier energetic environment in your own home.
Exactly. So maybe a final thought to leave you with. Considering how long this ancient wisdom, this practice of dousing, has existed, what other unseen forces might be shaping our lives? And maybe what simple shifts, like moving a bed or being mindful of our gadgets, could bring about profound changes in our daily well-being?
Something definitely worth pondering.